Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, is a podcast where comedian Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5.0 out of 10 dining experience, the objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good. Friend of the Doughboys, Marissa Pinson and John Glover were the most recent guests as they reviewed Costco's Food Court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many Costco hot dogs they could fit in their mouths. Damn, I wish I was on that episode. I'd crush that. Head over to linktree.com/finediningpodcast, FINEDININGPODCAST, and click B's giveaway to enter a giveaway for an all expenses paid trip to your local Applebee's, the current front runner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at 5.02 out of 10 for you and up to three of your friends. And you could watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st, and the winner will be announced on the May 8th episode. Disclaimer, $50 will be provided for transportation along with a $200 Applebee gift card. I love doing those fast read disclaimer things. Go give Fine Dining a listen, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Oh, growing up, cereal was one of my favorite foods. First thing after school as a latchkey kid, bust out a bowl of cereal. In the morning before school, but now I'm a grown-up and you can't eat cereal like that anymore because it's like having dessert all the time. I currently eat cereal pretty frequently at the end of the night as my dessert. And thankfully for Magic Spoon, the sponsor of this podcast and the company I'm currently talking about, they have healthy cereal. It's a way to cut down on carbs, sugar, and unhealthy food and still eat what I think is a fun snack. We're talking 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. 140 calories a serving. Keto friendly, gluten free, grain free, soy free, low carb. And you could build your own box with available flavors. Custom bundle. You got cocoa, fruity, frosted, peanut butter, blueberry, cinnamon, cookies and cream, and maple waffle. That last one I just listed, the last two actually, were exclusives, limited run flavors, but now they're back full time. And look, I don't want to play favors with my Magic Spoon cereal, but that maple waffle cereal is something special. It's back on the list permanently, so get it. It's my guiltless fourth meal is just a nice big bowl maple waffle cereal. So go to magicspoon.com/ham to grab a custom bundle of cereal and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code ham at checkout for $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's back with 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/ham and use the code ham to save $5 off. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode.
High and Mighty. What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuckboy. Standing 6'2", 288 pounds from the South Shore of Nassau County, Long Island. Here's Johnny. Gee, ruining his upstairs neighbors, home from work from home, sesh, not home from work. We're always home from work because work is home. Also joining me in the High Mighty Studio is my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabers. Arthur, give him a shout out. Arthur, not currently present, but I can't stop the pattern. Also joining me in the High Mighty Studios, been a previous guest before, but she's back with her own podcast from What Are You Into? It's Kelly Hudson.
Oh my God. I'm so happy to be back. I'm so glad nothing has changed.
I wish some things had changed, but
yeah.
That's each their own.
you giving a shout out to what was it, the producer or the engineer?
Arthur?
My
dog.
Oh, it was Arthur. Sorry. I thought you were giving a shout out to an engineer like after like a year and a half of not being in the room with someone and
oh,
like
shit.
kind of like as if there were like a skeleton in the room and you're like, I just want to give a shout out to this.
Just sitting at the H6 like Chester Copperpot from Goonies with like an eye patch over a skull.
Yes. Exactly.
But no, Kelly, you bring up a valid point. I'd like to take a moment to shout out Emma, my engineer, who's been crushing it this whole year and change in the pandemic.
Interesting.
That I don't think I've ever thanked her on the podcast before.
Holy shit. No one knows she exists.
So Kelly, when you said that, I was like, oh man, I'm terrible.
Fuck. Yeah, you're shouting at your fucking dog, dude.
Who's not even in the room. I'm a nightmare.
Oh my God.
Fuck. Well, shout out Emma, a legendary Emma. She does a wonderful job.
Amazing.
But shout out you, Kelly. How are you? I was going to say, what are you up to? But I don't want to accidentally steal any stolen valor from your podcast title.
Oh, right. Well, okay. So I am fine.
I'm so sorry. My bad. Let's back off the how are you question.
Stop. Please stop.
The look you gave for the listeners was, I'm full, both eyes closed, head down for a second, come back up. Fine. Whoops.
I was deep inside myself. Kelly, how are you? I think I was on this show. You're frozen, but I'm gonna keep talking. I think I was on this show 5-6 years ago. Is that right? There, you're back.
My internet. I was about to say, I feel bad if you're going off on like a real important story about what's going on.
I stopped.
My internet just died. Okay. I was like, and luckily we just shouted out Emma because she'll do a magical job putting this all back together safely. So I apologize. My internet went out right as I said, what is everything okay? <Just like. laughs>
No. So what I was going to say is, yes, I'm fine. I think it's been like 5-6 years since I was last on your podcast. So it's been a while.
Been a long time.
I'm in late 30s now.
You're a mother now.
I'm a mother now. I'm not just like some dumbass newlywed bimbo. I've been around. I'm weathered.
That's what everyone thought you were last time, was some dumbass newlywed bimbo. That's what your pull quote on your one woman show.
Exactly. Perky tits. Idiot.
New York magazine.
Now, right. Exactly.
Perky
now
tits
I'm like,
idiot.
Yeah. Now I'm, you know, I've breastfed a child. The tits aren't what they used to be. I know you were asking how my tits are, right?
Well, I mean, that's the subtext of any time we hang out. It's like, why don't you tell me a little bit more about...
they're okay. They're good. They're well moisturized. They're doing great. and yeah, I'm doing fine. We've had a hell of a couple years here. And
it's such a loaded question to say, like, how have you been? What have you been up to? It carries so much weight now. Yeah. It feels weird.
I've just been driven crazy by a toddler. He's great. I love my child. But, you know, there's just like it's black and white of just like, wow, life is fine. I'm happy to like, oh, fuck, everything sucks. You know,
they are legendarily amazing for your life and also legendarily difficult.
Exactly. Yeah, so, I'm a mom now. Enough said. We're in a pandemic. Enough said.
And when we were talking about what we wanted to chat about this time, you mentioned shame in and specifically, I think you mentioned sexual shame or eradicating shame. Is that
I said eradicating sexual shame. That was one of my suggestions.
Hell,
and we were like, yeah,
fucking yeah. And I think shame is such an interesting topic. Mm-hmm. It's not something like it is one of those like hard to articulate. But I was like, once you said that, I was like, oh, fuck, yeah, let's dive in on whatever the hell. But is there a reason that's something that you had locked and loaded or because I know it's been a year and a half or 2 years of introspection and we've, you know, like thought about some shit and we're like, OK, I think a lot of people maybe became more crystallized versions of themselves, which is either a good or bad thing, like or both, depending on. But I think we've all, if there's like an intensity button on our personalities, I think we all just like, or volume revved button. I think we, for me, for Tiff, for a lot of my friends, it looks like we all sort of became even more of who we are, whether that's for the positive or not. But right. I do feel personally better. I'm not sure if I'm as good of a functioning member of society as I once was, but I also don't know if that matters anymore.
Yeah. I just checked out, not to call out Tiff, but I just checked out her Instagram page the other day and I was like, holy shit, what a gorgeous like page. It's just covered with these flowers and this woman. And it's like, wow, the intense version of your wife is just like a blossoming, gorgeous flower, I guess.
Yeah. Like she really found herself in this pandemic. Like she got laid off from her job and pivoted to like a creative, even more creative industry and didn't want bosses anymore. So launched her own business and like,
she's killing it.
She's absolutely killing it. And It's fucking great. She is now at 1,000 miles an hour. And as I've been saying, and I'm comfortable, and it's for good and for bad, you know, where it's like, okay, used to be a little chill every once in a while around.
Right.
Here.
Having your own business, especially during the first couple of years, I'm sure is fucking bonkers.
It's objectively difficult. Yeah.
Yeah. A big responsibility.
Yeah. Yeah. Says the CEO of High and Mighty Productions.
Yeah, I know. I know you got a lot on your plate too.
I got a lot on my plate and it's mostly chicken sausage.
It is. I'm going to get to Shame in just a second, but it is incredible. Like you are the podcast man in my head. Like you have so many fucking podcasts.
I know. This has always been me. It's like, I'm sort of good at this thing. It's like, well, let's ruin it for yourself in 3 or 4 years. And like, I just do that with anything I like. I'm like, oh, this is kind of fun. And I'm like, if I could quote Chris Farley, I'm like, JoJo, the idiot circus boy with a pretty little pet. And I just want to hug it and squeeze it until I kill it. You know, it's like, that's my entire life. So I'm like, oh, podcast, that's fun. Oh, and for me, I love talking and I don't actually get tired of it.
That's great.
I like listening. Love talking.
Yes. Same.
Neither of which takes a lot of energy out of me. Like, so I like to engage with people, especially extended phoneless conversations with friends is like is not something you can have in real life, but I can have on this podcast.
And since true.
Most of my friends are funny, interesting people who like it works out that I get to talk to my friends for an hour and then make a little money off of it.
It's true.
Yeah, it rolls.
That's awesome. Well, good for you.
And I didn't realize how much of a lifeboat or something, how much of a thing to grab onto this was in the pandemic. Like, one thing I never happened was I still talk to a new person once a week or someone who I've previously talked to, but it was still, I had like an hour plus engaged conversation with a friend every week in this pandemic. So people who are like, I hate Zoom cocktail hour. I'm like, Zoom cocktail hour feels like my job. I hate Zoom cocktail hour when I could be talking to a friend one-on-one just instead of fucking riffing. And like, so it's been, I used to really look down even on myself as a podcaster in that, like, cause I wanted to work in TV and movies. That's what I like got around to do. And then eventually I was like, I grew up listening to talk radio, like Howard and Opie, like all that shit was my favorite. I'm pretty good at this. I do clearly like it. And then all of a sudden I'm like, I'm going to just inject shame into this conversation. I think I had established what I thought success was and me not achieving that. Shame might not even be the right word. It feels hyperbolic, but it's obviously a sliding scale thing of shame. But I felt like I'm just a fucking podcaster. But now I'm like, this job has afforded me to work throughout the entire pandemic. And also, this is what I do for a living.
Totally. That's so cool. And I really look up to that. Like I'm at a point in my life where I would love to make a living doing this. Like I've started getting really into my podcast and it's hard to grow an audience, especially when you're talking about sex. I know people say sex sells, but when you're recommending a podcast and you listen to a sex podcast and you're like, it might be too vulnerable of me to share this.
Right.
To tell someone to I listen to sex shit, you know? Like, it kind of comes out off as a come on. I remember at one point in my life telling everyone I loved Savage Love and then, like, Dan Savage's sex advice podcast, and then kind of getting, like, sort of like a flirtatious response from people, like being like, are you coming on to me telling me you listen to sex? And I'm like, fuck.
Is that like saying I'm part of the lifestyle? It's like the, like, it's like the 90s or early 2000s version of being like,
but I
got to shout out every time Savage Love comes out, comes up. I got to shout out best piece of advice I ever heard from him for longtime couples was fuck before fuck dinner.
Before, yes, fuck first, eat
fuck
second.
First, eat second. And it is a game changer.
It is.
Like, that was something I needed to, like, I was like, oh, I can't believe my brain never figured that out.
Every Valentine's Day.
Yeah, two
makes
things
the
I
grave
love so
mistake
much.
Mistake of like steak dinner, big chocolate mousse dessert. Oh, no. Sorry.
My college roommate on Valentine's Day put whipped cream all over his genitals. Like, you know, that's something you thought you was cool when you were 19.
Yes, and not disgusting.
And not disgusting. But his girlfriend at the time was like, it was like, babe, I'm too full. Can you go shower? Like, I don't want to. She's like, I'm okay sucking your dick, but I don't want whipped cream.
Yeah, if there's any actual food involved, I can't deal with it. I can't. That's really. I can't eat this whipped cream off of your dick. I'm too full. Or I could, but I'd have to like spit it out. It's going to be a mess. So that's really funny. Yeah. So basically, yes, the pandemic has led to me being bigger Kelly. I definitely didn't. I didn't crystallize. I didn't clamp down. I think I kind of sort of blossomed a bit and wanted to branch out and learn more about myself and become more vulnerable. And that, like, kind of has led to just, like, pockets and pockets and pockets of shame.
That every time you dig in,
opening.
You're like, oh, ooh, okay,
ouch,
yeah.
Ouch, that was... yeah. Yes. And
now,
like,
I know why that was sewed shut.
Totally,
But now you have more storage.
Exactly. More storage, yes. I'm opening up all these pockets, and then I can put other shit in there. Like, I don't know, like... submission, BDSM, you know, like polyamory, stuff like that. Yeah. So it's been fun. Like, I started the podcast with a friend last year, and then, you know, it just happened to start around the time the pandemic did. And then I started doing it on my own at the beginning of this year. And just like, it's just opened up so much for me. It's been like a second therapy to just be like public about liking sex or wanting to know more, being curious about sex publicly. It's been really therapeutic for me.
Oh, that's so cool. I will say, like, the antithesis of shame is like forthcoming, right?
Yes,
like,
just vulnerability.
Vulnerability. That's the best word version. Yeah. Like, just being, just shining a light on something will make you even maybe meta analyze why there was even shame in the first place. And it's like,
exactly.
I feel this. I'm a little more vanilla in my sex stuff, but I feel what you're talking about a little bit in discovering my personality and just becoming. I know for a lot of people are like, Gabrus isn't comfortable with himself or whatever.
Yeah, that's it's a surprise because you've always been a big, loud, and proud dude. But are you saying you've also sort of like tapped into a new side of yourself?
I've discovered more pockets of myself as well that I'm like, honestly, why wasn't I doing this? And a lot of my stuff stems from self-limitation of like, you don't deserve this yet. You haven't earned this yet. You have to do blank before you could do that. A bunch of like weird shit like that therapy and supportive family and friends really broke me out of. But
yeah,
I'm finally feeling like I deserve to live a life alongside my career. That sounds
awesome.
So hyperbolic, but it just really, I'm like, I've like reevaluated, and the pandemic helped me do this too. I reevaluated where like I put work, like, and I'm just like, what the fuck am I so stressed about a job?
Totally.
If I looked at someone else's career, if you took my name off of a list of stuff I did in a year, I'd be like, this guy's a fucking, look at this person. They're killing
totally.
It.
Totally. Yes.
Because it's me.
This
I'm
maniac.
Like, I'm just looking at my more successful peers going, well, I'm not fucking that, am I?
Yeah.
So I'm a piece of shit. And then it's like,
yeah.
I just have to like slow everything down for like a year and just let me be like, think about myself and be like, is this worth it? Do I want to? And I'm like finding out, yes, it is worth it. Yes, but it's not the same angle I previously thought. And now I think at heart, I'm a path of least resistance guy. Mm. And I think I was trying to make my like
to roll
follow
boulders
other
up the hills. Yes. That shit. Yeah.
And I was trying to like jam somebody else's path up. And then eventually I was like,
same.
Why don't you just do like you don't like working? Like, why are you stressed about work? You just want to do this. If you don't.
Yeah.
And then in like the last couple of years, we decided we didn't want to have children. Then we were like, well, now we don't need to buy a house. And it's
right.
Like, well, now we don't need to save money. And now you don't need to work at your brutal marketing job that you hate. Now I don't have to take gigs. I don't. And all of a sudden it was like,
what a relief.
And this was all pressure we just put on ourselves. And like,
totally.
And it took so I'm 40. It took me to be 39 to figure this shit out.
Yes. I mean, I'd say even with kids, though, of course, that's me safely having had a kid for a few years.
And, right, right.
You know, even with kids, like, I think that we put way too much pressure on ourselves about what that means and like what we have to have for them. And it's like, it's kind of just societal pressure. And I think women feel it big time of like, I have to be doing everything perfectly. I have to be the best mom. I have to be the, you know, all this.
I have to be there for my kid as much as possible, but yes. I also have to have a career because it's
right.
not all about.
I have to have a hit show and also then take a break to get pregnant and then to, you know, just like all these things yeah. in your head. And it's like, actually, you can just live and like get needs met and it's going to be fine. Like, you know, I think we're just. Dan and I are trying to give ourselves like a little bit more space to be like, what can our careers be? I'm definitely taking eggs out of the like TV writer's basket. Dan, not so much yet because he's had like such a substantial career in that field. I'm talking about Dan Klein here.
Yeah, former guest of the podcast from the Hobbies episode
yes.
and from the wedding episode that Kelly was on.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Really airing his laundry here. But, you know, it's been hard. Like, we just haven't, there hasn't been a lot of work in the last, you know, year and a half.
Right. So, and it wasn't like it was
awesome before that. Yeah.
Right. And that's what my brain finally came around to
right.
was like, I was like, oh, being able to slow down and be like, oh, like eliminating FOMO.
Yes.
Which kind of the pandemic did for me in that I wasn't seeing other people weren't doing much more than me.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And then I finally was like, oh, I'm so comfortable with myself. Now
right.
I felt it as the pandemic was lightning and your friends who were already in TV shows or in writers' rooms are like, well, we're Zooming or like, well, we're in masks shooting on a set or whatever. And you're just like, my FOMO started creeping back in. And I went, no.
No.
You don't care about that anymore.
Exactly. And do you want to be in a Zoom writer's room?
Right. And that's the...
Those poor fucks. Jesus.
I know.
It sounds terrible.
I mean, that's exactly... And it is for some people. And it's so funny to say because Ben Rogers helped me unlock this alongside therapy too. Because he's like, what do you want career-wise then?
Exactly.
He's like,
what
you wouldn't
you
be happy
want?
Like five seasons on a network sitcom.
No.
You'd be tired of that too. He's like, you'd just be rich, but you would still not be happy. And I was like, fuck, you're right. And then I was like, just like, it took-
It's
like,
such a relief. It's such a relief. I think we got a little bit brainwashed at UCB. And I'm not going to talk too much trash about this place that I met some of the most wonderful people in my entire life at. You know, I met my husband. I met my best friends. Like, it was such a crazy, cool place to be. But at the same time, I feel like I'm unlearning so much bullshit brainwash crap that, like, I got there that was, like, about hierarchy. I still view certain people as better than me. Like,
dude,
just because they were, like, a little bit ahead of me at the time I started, you know?
To me, they're, like, upperclassmen for life. It's, like, your
exactly.
friend's older. Like, it's...
I'm still
your friend's,
a sophomore.
Like, your friend's hot older sibling is
yes.
still the hottest woman you've ever seen or hottest person you've ever seen, even
totally.
Though you moved to Los Angeles and work in Hollywood and everyone is, like, base level, rather attractive.
Yes.
And then you're, like, And when you see them again and you're like, why? And it was like, no, it was because of the dynamics at the time.
Yes. And the power dynamics. Yeah.
And I think you touched on something a little bit there. I don't want to pile on a dead horse like
yes,
UCB
the poor,
either.
Poor dead horse of UCB.
But,
yeah.
But at the same time, I think I projected a lot of it. Like I was in my early 20s craving attention. It's like not the best combination to like then enter a social structure as well.
Yeah. Right? And then I placed a lot of my self-worth on like whether my fucking show got a run or getting on a Herald team, which never happened, right. You know, which is like, wow, am I still going to be upset about that at age 38? It seems so silly now to just be like, wow, I felt like a failure for years.
Well, and now here's the converse of that. I felt like I fucking deserved the world for years because I did have success at UCB.
Right.
And I was like good at improv.
Weekend
and I was like,
teams.
Yeah. And then what the fuck has good at improv done for me? Yes, I'm using that skill now, but it's not like I didn't teach improv. I didn't launch an improv school. I was too focused on
that. Wasn't
on,
the
like,
goal. Like-
no, exactly. And it was like, why did I care about getting so good? Why? Like, the thing that always comes to mind is at the time in UCB, it was like, don't do what you're good at. It kept being like, you always do that kind of character. Or Kelly,
oh,
you always do this thing. And you're like, right, I got to be super well-balanced, super blah, blah, blah. And then you're like, Jack McBrayer, Rob Riggle, all the people who are getting successful
they
out of this theater.
Just do their genuine voice and everybody loves it.
Right. Like, and then you're like, oh, just be yourself in a way. And that's not something that's truly taught there. I mean, maybe it is now more.
Who knows?
It should be. But.
I remember I was just talking to a VO coach the other day about like getting a reel made. And I was like, you know, I do like characters. I do a great old man voice. I love doing an old man voice, you know? And he's like, listen, nobody wants that. That is not.
They cast old men in those roles.
Yes, exactly. They cast, unless you're on fucking Bob's Burgers or if you're, you know, Adam Sandler, you're not going to get
doing
to play
six characters.
A different gender than what you are on something. Like, it's pretty crazy. They're just like, all we want is you to be able to harness your genuine voice. And like, that's what we love. And if you have it, you have it. You don't, you know, and there's trends for that shit and like what people are liking as far, you know.
Yeah.
When we were kids, it was like, a man who smokes too much is doing your Wendy's commercial. And now it's like,
and kids cartoons were all, like that. And now it's like, everything is now it's truly famous comic actors and famous actors voicing everything. And it's brutal because the VO world and the commercial world used to be for the struggling actors, and TV and movie used to be for the bigwigs. Now the bigwigs are like John Hamm's doing fucking H&R Block spots, you know, like everybody's just doing, you're like, fuck, man, that used to be where us freaks made some money.
I know. I remember Alvin and the Chipmunks came out, the movie, and I found out that all the like Chipmunks' voices were famous people. But they had sped them up to sound like chipmunks. And I was like, what the fuck is the point of having Amy Poehler be like, like a fast forwarded baby
and it's,
voice.
And it's like a kid is going to see Amy Poehler's name on the Alvin the Chipmunks squeakquel and be like excited or whatever.
Exactly. Oh, my God. Anyway.
That's okay. We're doing great, though, otherwise.
I enjoy a nice glass of wine, especially at the end of a night or like when I sit down to have a meal. Wine pairs with food better than most drinks. It's hard not to have wine when you've cooked yourself a nice meal. It's hard not to have a little vino verde or a little rosé at the beach. It's hard not to have a peppery Malbec paired with a nice piece of chocolate, okay? So I'm not an expert, but I know what I like, and I like new stuff, so I use Vivino, the world's biggest online wine marketplace. They're the largest online wine community with 50 million users. They carry all of my favorites. I have so many wines that I like, and they carry all of them, whether it's Beach Juice Rosé or Coppola Red. They've got a bunch of stuff I love, and they suggest exciting personalized recommendations. And their app is everything you need to know about wine. So much more right in your hands. Ratings, reviews. And here's the coolest thing. it comes fast. It shows up fast. Take it from the guy who finished the case of rosé originally ordered, ordered another one, well, was about to finish the case of rosé originally ordered, ordered another one to time it when he finishes, and boom, another one was at my door. So I've really stepped up my wine game thanks to Vivino. Give them a try and you're going to love it. Go to vivino.com/mighty and use code mighty at checkout to save 20% off your first order for up to $200. That's vivino.com/mighty, code mighty, M-I-G-H-T-Y, to save 20% on your first order of up to $200. vivino.com/mighty, code mighty. See site for details. Terms apply.
So eradicating sexual shame.
Yes, that was my original idea, because that's kind of been my mission in this podcast and in life in general, because I kind of feel like it's like one of the big keys to happiness for me. I didn't realize like how big of a deal sex was for me for a long time. And I think a lot of people downplay that. Like if you're not compatible sexually with your partner, like that's not supposed to be important, you know?
Right.
Dan Savage talks about that a lot. And it's like, no, it can be. And it is for some people.
Yeah.
For a lot of people. Some people it's not. Like, honestly, some people are just like, yeah, I could take it or leave it. And for me, it's important. And I think it was a really big part of my personality that started coming out when I was in high school, that was totally crushed, because there's nothing more terrifying than like a horny teenage girl, you know?
Right. You're talking about from, especially in the era we grew up. I mean, even it's not like it's better, much better now, but when we grew up, it was like the girl you heard hooked up with someone at school, despite all the dudes wanting nothing more than to hook up with a girl.
Everyone wants to pound her, but then everyone's like, fucking slut, and wow.
And I think it's like rampant through men in like everything now is sort of like the energy of like, I need you to do blank for me, but if I have to imagine you doing that for anyone else, it's the biggest nightmare in my life. It's like, what the fuck?
Everybody,
my daughter better
not
do any of the shit I do with her mother
that I force my wife to do. Yeah.
That's all I think about with those dad dudes who are like, bro, come talk to father before you come try to kiss my daughter. It's like, did you do that with your wife, you fuck dude? She's somebody's daughter too, you piece
of
shit.
It's such a gross double standard. I totally got like run out of my high school because a lot of my friends were kind of just like, well, you're a slut now, sorry, like we can't talk to you. And like, and then a lot of the dudes, you know, dudes were kind of piling on, like, you know, it starts to become a rumor that you're a certain type of girl. And then there, it's like the fucking 50s, and it was 1998, you know, and it was like,
I was part of the problem. I can I don't feel good saying that, but I was one of those dudes in high school. Mm-hmm. I was an empathetic human being, but I did also do that. So I have regrets.
It's really cool of you to admit that. I feel like this is part of the healing to like talk to each other on the other side of this and be oh, thank God some of these people turned into like decent human beings.
Well, I think if more people copped to being formerly a piece of shit, current piece of shits will be comfortable becoming former pieces of shit. Because I do feel like some people think they're so locked into everyone hating them or them being a piece of shit. They're so locked into it, there's nothing they could do. So they might as well quadruple down and become bigger pieces of shit. Because it's like, but there is the other side. You cannot be there's so many interchangeable words here. I'm just using piece of shit to be like more general. Right. But like,
rapist we're allowed could be in there.
I used to be a rapist. Now I'm not. It's like Jesus. But people can change in 22 years. It turns out that's
true.
Enough time to become a different person. So you can leave some of that shit in your, and then you were touching on this. You're touching on this a little bit, talking about how it went away for a while. Tiffany and I found, and I'm, putting words in her mouth a little bit, but we found that we became more like our young selves in the last couple of years. Like,
yeah.
She's like, I can't believe, like, she said something. She's like, I can't believe I worked in an office for 15 years. That's like something 17-year-old Tiffany said she would never wanted to do.
Yeah.
And then you just like step into the real world and are like, oh, I'm on the water slide of like, oh, I got to get a Manhattan. I want a Brooklyn apartment. Oh, shit. I got to work. I need health insurance. I'm 24. I can't quit this job. Oh, I got to take this job. That's even harder. I got to get, you know, like you just get like stuck in this like thing. And then all of a sudden it takes like.
That's a conveyor belt. Yeah. You just like, you're like, oh, where am I going? Like, you're like,
oh my God, I'm 38 and I like have like issues because I sit all day. It's like,
yeah.
And then like that, you, I feel like I'm more like I was in like, I found myself, I had so much anxiety about stuff that I had no control over, which I'm always good about. I used to be very good about releasing, but now I'm like back to that level of myself too. And it feels like, it's not regressive in a way, but it feels like the way you described it clicked in my head because you were like, it was squash. And it was like, you were going on the highway and you were like, this is my exit. And we're like, this exit's closed? Who closed it?
Fuck,
I'll get back on the highway and find my exit. And then you're like, drive for 20 years. And then you're like, I think I should turn around and go back to 105S because I think that was the exit I should have been
on. That was it. I should have turned around a long time ago.
Blowing past exits that seem unappealing. And then you're like, fuck it. Why didn't I just get off at that exit and see what restaurants are there? I know there's probably a better restaurant down the road or whatever, but that's the one I wanted to go to for some reason. So let me. And no one else reviewed this positively on Yelp. That's okay. I'm not going with anyone else. I'm going by myself.
Totally.
To keep that this dumb. Rest stop analogy going for
Yeah, I was gonna try to figure out my way to worm into that, but I think I'll just start talking in like,
I was trying to back out of it terms. As far as I was I have no idea what I'm talking about.
I think over the years like parts of me have come out trying to be like have weird sex conversations with people and just having to back out and being like, all right, this is still weird. This person's uncomfortable. Like, okay, I still haven't really found a person to talk to about this. And it's like a podcast is so perfect for me right now because everybody knows what's happening. And it's like, it's all set up. Like there's also certain dating apps. I'm semi-poly with my husband and I'm on a dating app. And so it's kind of this like kink leaning app called Field and kind of just all the cards are on the table that
I have a friend that uses Field to be a third.
Be
a bi third. Yeah.
You can get in there and be, people call those the unicorns often. Yeah. And it's like, you can get out there and just say exactly what you're doing. And like the cards are on the table. Everyone knows I'm married. Everyone knows that I have a kid. Like everyone, it's just like, hey guys, this is my deal. Like fucking swipe if you want, but don't worry about it otherwise. Right.
And also you're not. Because you are eradicating the shame of like, hey, I understand if you pass as well. Like, hey, that's life. We're grown-ups. Yeah, I'm not like upset by my results here.
And
that's such a powerful feeling. That's such a powerful feeling.
It is. There's all kinds of sexual shame I have, not only of being too much of a slut, but also like there's shame surrounding like having been rejected by men, which the first time that happened, I was like, what the fuck? Are you kidding me? Any man has to, every man has to want to fuck me. I was like terrified by that. And that comes with all the shame of like, well, I'm disgusting, you know, like, and then another layer is like this shame of, I feel like a creep with women sometimes, like being bisexual and knowing when someone's interested. It was so hard for me to learn that because, of course, I couldn't be out about it.
Right.
You know, the only women in my life were like my straight friends, you know. So, I just felt like I was a creep all the time and felt so filled with shame about like, you know, I would go to bars in New York when I was in my like 20s prime and then like dance with this girl and then like kind of flirt. And then like suddenly they'd be like, ugh, like. Ew. And I'd be like, oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. It's like, I think I struck out so many times with that and just like finally having like a place where like these apps are sucks sometimes. Like, it really sucks sometimes. Like, you just meet idiot after idiot.
I've just been in a relationship for so long that I have zero app, like, awareness.
Yeah.
So if someone is ever on them around me, I'm like, please,
Let me just look over your shoulder? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm so curious. And I think anyone who's in, like, long-time pre-dating app monogamy relationships are wildly curious. Because in your head, it's like diner menu shopping, and then you're like, that's not how this works at all. Like, every one of your friends complains about how bad these apps are.
It's
not
going to
be so much better for you when you get to use it.
Yeah. You never know what you're going to get. But it is nice to, like, know that it's on the table, at least, that I'm sexually interested in. Like, that's not insane, you know?
Right. And you said a couple of, like, the way you were feeling and stuff, and it's I want to say interesting, but that's not the right word here either. But it's interesting that so much stuff of, like, shame is perceived reactions from other people, whether that is
exactly
the actual reaction or assumed reaction from other people, like, whatever it might be. You're just like, I'm seeing myself through their eyes and they think I'm disgusting. And then probably the most thing is that they're not thinking about you at all, because we're more of a narcissistic culture than anything else. And that's And now you should hear me. I feel like the Buddha sometimes. That is maybe cultural appropriation, but I feel so zen at times when I say things like, "Well, I don't know what that person was going through when they honked."
Oh my god! Yes,
and
I just
got
scammed on the internet this weekend, which was horrifying.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It sucked really bad. It hurt. But like, I feel like I've gone through an emotional washing machine since then. And like, it's also like, it's also such a like. A testament to where I am with everything that, like, basically an hour after I figured all this shit had happened and I was, you know, really feeling full of sorrow for myself, I was like, whoa, where do you have to be in your life to do that to somebody? Like, I feel really bad for them.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, wow.
That's some real grown up shit
there. Yeah. On that
grown
other side. And it is grown up shit, but can you imagine any of our parents doing that?
No. My dad saw everything as a slight. He's like, this fucking guy put 6 pieces of pepperoni, everything, fucking
idiot.
Put 7. Yeah, it's this piece of this fucking guy. What is he fucking? And I'm like,
it.
Dad. And, you know, at the time, you're like, yeah, fuck this guy. And now I'm a grown up. I'm like, there's so much shit that's like out of your control. And like, if you can like release that and just be like, me just being like, going to the beach is one of my favorite things to do. And I didn't do it in my 20s in New York because it was limited. I was broke. I didn't think I deserved a day at the beach and all the shit.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And then when I was in LA, it kind of was like, it's a little difficult. I should be working. I should be taking meetings. I should doing all this stuff. And then like a few years ago, I was like, just go to the beach.
Go to the beach
in the middle of the week. And I just went and it was like, oh, and people are like, you went to the beach? That was crazy traffic. And then I was like, yeah, but then I got to listen to an extra 20 minutes of an audiobook. And
exactly.
They were like,
and I was at the beach. Have you been there? Oh, my God.
Kelly, that is like literally. And I'm like, oh, my God. Right. Sometimes you do need to put in a little effort to get extra enjoyment. And getting to the beach, albeit, is a minor hassle. Anyone who has like real life problems is so upset by this sentence right now. But once you get over that hump and you go to the beach, you're like, fuck. And the beach is such a major part of my personality.
Mm-hmm.
Like I got back into my beach bum.
You're podcast man, but you're also beach man for sure.
Beach boy becomes podcast man. Classic coming of age story.
Perfect. Yeah. Yeah.
From
you're
beach
always
beach boy to podcast man, the John Gabris biography.
Totally. Are you a model right now? Like, I feel like I see you like sporting some trunks and then you like post an ad and you're like, is this an ad? Is this happening?
This is how comfortable I'm becoming with myself, is that I used to wear Speedos all the time. I worked at, I was a swimmer for the high school team. Mm-hmm. I worked at the beach as a beach lifeguard.
My brothers were both in swimming, so Speedos weren't like gay, quote unquote,
yes,
or European, exactly. Or fuck it. Yeah.
Well, whatever. European in the 90s meant gay in my house.
Yeah, exactly. Very much. Yes.
Everybody was gay. Like, I was gay because my family like looked at me as gay because I like cared about movies. Like,
my God. Okay. Why don't you suck a dick while you're at it down there?
I mean, that's where I grew up. Now I'm like, very comfortable talking about how attractive I find certain men. And I'm like, if my uncles could see me now talking about Henry Cavill's forearms, little different than talking about Streets of Fire. I couldn't think of a Nate movie I got made fun of for liking when I was a kid. Wait, where was I going with all that?
Oh, Speedos. About your body and Speedos and all that.
So in the last few years, I got more comfortable with my own body via my wife making me feel that way. And also, I started to be like, I said this on the Speedos episode, but this is like the thing that unlocked my brain. And again, for me, it's going to sound like everything in life that's helped me is just moving goalposts. And I think as someone who's both wildly ambitious and lazy at the same time, it's the right thing for me. I was like, I finally came to the conclusion that even if I do actually look worse in a Speedo objectively, whatever that means, even though attractiveness is subjective, if I do objectively look worse in a Speedo, say I look 10% worse, I feel 15% better or sexier wearing the Speedo. So it comes out in the wash. Like, if anyone actually is judging me, there are other people who are like, and for me, that like unlocked, and I was like, Now I'm like running around the beach of I went home to Long Island, went to Montauk, which is even less friendly than, SoCal beaches. And I'm running around with my nephew in a Speedo, only man in a Speedo at the beach. And I didn't give a fuck. My siblings were there, my aunt, my uncle, my nephews, everybody. Like, and I come from like a roast family. Mm-hmm. So they obviously roasted me, but it was never like, what the fuck are you doing? It was like, be careful, like, Uncle Nani's bikini's gonna fall off. You know, like just teasing me. And that's like and I just realized, I was like, I'm so much happier. And this is not obviously sexual shame, but there's something there because I do have
I think it is
a small flaccid penis and a big belly, like that sort of pair unwell with a Speedo.
Yes, and it's feminine. It's like it's conceived of as feminine, and that's what homophobia is. Not entirely, but that's very one much so. It's
shade
one
of it. Yeah.
One shade of it is being perceived of as weak because you are feminine, because women are weak and women are shit, and you know.
Yeah, it's like, God forbid you're like women, the thing that us hetero men are obsessed with.
Exactly.
What? Jesus, I don't understand Christ. This logic.
Guys.
Don't be like a woman. Just think about them nonstop all the time.
It's like, not that crazy. Stop. What? We it took us hundreds of years to come up with this. I think we did a pretty good job. I think we should keep doing it. Please.
You want to start giving them a say in what we do with them. Okay. Yeah. All right. Good luck with that, asshole. But so then I started posting myself in Speedos, which I'm also not very comfortable with, like social media, because I don't like I feel like I don't do it enough. And then when I do it, I feel like I'm like enjoying the serotonin of the people liking or commenting too much. And I'm like, I can't have that be a thing I need in life. That's like a problem.
I have a major problem, too. Yeah.
Yeah. So I need to have like a special. But I started posting myself in Speedos and nobody comes through. Some people do and come through and say some bullshit, but so many friends. And then it's like, and I'm sure you're learning this with your podcast. And when you dig into that pocket, when you rip the little thread off and are able to get into the pocket, when you get in there, you're like, there's so many people who feel the same way about this. And I just didn't know.
Nice.
And then because you get gassed up in the people are like, oh shit, I want to rock a Speedo. I did an episode about Speedos and five or six straight cishet men DM'd me and said, I'm 6 foot three, 320 pounds, and I wore Speedo to the beach day, and you were right, I felt great. Like, all these people describing their what they think are weird bodies.
So
I'm a tall,
sweet,
lanky, pale freak, but I was so happy to be in a Speedo at the beach.
Yes.
I'm like, it is freeing. There's something about it. And then it's like, I've just like turned the corner on a lot of that stuff, which I think has made me feel more comfortable in my skin, which has made me feel more like myself.
Yeah. I mean, I think someone said this on my podcast at some point, like how you feel in your body is how you feel having sex. Like if you feel really good in that, like, I feel like it can only make sex better, you know?
Yeah.
If you feel great about that bod and you're just like, I'm comfortable here. Like, this is good stuff. I don't like, and I'm not focused on what the other person thinks, even if the other person is like, this is awesome, you know?
Right. Well, it doesn't matter what the other person exactly. thinks, unfortunately.
Sadly,
and,
yeah.
And I'm not allowed, my one podcast rule is I'm not allowed to fully disclose all that stuff in my, but I can totally. Attest to getting more comfortable in your body. Mm-hmm. Makes you enjoy sex more. I'll circle, you know, 9 out of strongly agree on a scale of 1 to 10 that has been a pleasant side effect of me becoming more comfortable with who I am.
That's wonderful.
And I'm even gonna say this just so I lost like 30 pounds in the pandemic, but it didn't happen until after I was happy with my body, which is so weird. A lot of people are like, oh, look, Mr. Speedo, you know, someone lost some weight. And it's like, and I'm like, no, I started wearing this before I lost the weight. The weight came once I was like, oh, it's I freed myself from something. And I don't know what it was, but it was like sort of like, well,
shame's
now I like
in there.
The way. Yeah. And then it's like,
it's a big one.
There's shame to when you're of size to being like, don't put yourself out there exercise wise, because if it fails, everyone's going to be like, haven't you been working out? You're still, it's like, dude, there's so much shit going on with that. Please.
I am someone that is in a not fat body. I don't know like how to refer to my body because I've like hated it for so long, but you know, but I completely relate to that of just being like, anytime I do anything, I'm so scared to put it out there because I know that people are gonna, you know, like I'm afraid that it'll fail. Like, I feel like when I used to have my own Instagram account, I now only have my podcast and my son's like private account or whatever, but when I had my own account, I think I posted a couple times about like losing weight or whatever, or trying some new thing that worked, and I just it was so hard after that to be like, but now I'm this again, you know, I gained the weight back and now like I feel stupid about that thing. And I kept feeling like, oh, well, I learned my lesson that time. Just don't post about it, you know?
And meanwhile, that's the most common. I even heard you say in that sentence, you stopped yourself. You're like, and then other people, I was feeling afraid. And it was such a real growth moment to watch live, was you were like, and then you said, I know other people. And then you went, I'm afraid. And it was like, right. That's what you have to, that's a great little.
Yeah.
And I know exactly what you're talking about, but then also the reason I know exactly what you're talking about is because I go through that too. And the reason so many listeners who are listening right now understand that. And that's because, and I think like what you do with the pod and like what we're talking about is important, because all you need to hear is from someone else.
Exactly.
To be like, dude, a huge broad-shouldered woman is attractive. And then I'm like, yeah, I actually agree. Just something I don't really talk about all too frequently. And now I talk about it entirely too much. But
a huge broad-shouldered woman, that's your type?
I'm like in love with giant muscular women too.
Oh my,
I mean,
God.
I think, you know, there's always that what people say, if you've been in a relationship long enough, sometimes like the two types you find attractive are clones of your partner and the like polar opposite.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Like the Robert Crumb ladies. Is
yeah.
That
our,
what we're talking
our,
about.
Our Crumb ladies are the very much ladies. In Uncle Gabrus's wheelhouse.
Oh,
As a matter of fact, I feel like we could save this and use this as a tease for my episode of your podcast.
Yes. Yes.
I could talk
Gabrus
about
is definitely going to be on my podcast, and I can't wait to talk about your type some more. That is really cool.
I actually have I've done some unpacking of that in this
That's
last
awesome.
I've learned, and I'll talk about this more on your podcast, but I'll tease it here. I've learned that most types of my women, like the kind of women I've always been attracted to in media growing up, were all gay icons.
Oh.
And I don't know what that means. Like, I don't understand. Like, I think what it means is, because I think gay men and I have the same taste in women.
Right.
And that we like big personalities, brassy, ball busters, like Tiffany. Tiffany has, she worked in TV marketing. So she, of course, she has a ton of gay male friends.
Yes.
And like
Tiffany resembles like Lady Gaga, Madonna.
Yes. That, and those are the people yes. I had crush on. And then it was like Cher, Karen from Will and Grace, mm-hmm. the nanny. Like these mm-hmm. are all people I had like crazy. Like, you know, I had some of the classic cishet 90s, like Jenny McCarthy love right. and stuff. But most of the women I was like really attracted to were like, and then I, as I'm a grown up now, my type, even though I'm, I would say like, you know, whatever the Kinsey scale is, mostly hetero, mm-hmm. a type of woman I'm attracted to is like a female drag queen, more or
yes.
less.
Yes.
Like,
oh.
like
a man dressed in drag?
Like, oh, I mean, a man dressed in drag.
Or a woman dressed in drag.
A woman, even a woman who just dresses crazy and has intense makeup and is big yes, and is yes, funny yes. and loud.
Right, right,
like,
right.
And I think men emulate. The drag queen culture yes. emulates a woman that I'm attracted
right.
to.
Right, got
so,
you.
So even though I'm straight, I can see a man dressed as a woman and that appeal.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I've seen it because of my love of tall, broad-shouldered women. Seen a lot of, I've found myself being attracted to this, you know.
Dude.
Yeah, no.
I talk about this way too much on my podcast, so I'm excited to talk about it here, that I am fucking obsessed with drag queens right now. Like, men dressed as women, and like it might not be this way for you because you're a straight guy, but like for me, like the hottest part when you can see a tiny tell that they are
oh,
like
that
a
they're men, like there's
cisgender
like...
man. Yes.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
I love it.
What are we into?
I don't know what's happening. I've been trying to like unpack it. And also it sucks because, you know, drag queens, I don't know of any that aren't gay, you know? And so yeah. like none of them are going to be interested in me, you know? So it's like, I don't know how to get these.
Here's
beautiful.
Something I know. Well, and this is not has no bearing on what you just said, but I'm going to say just so for the record for what I say next. I always thought I'd be a good drag queen because of the sort of vibe and energy of it and of my size and stature, I think lends itself to, but I hate wearing even like men's clothes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. for me, it's like the limiting factor is like, I can lip sync. I could do all, I can work
oh,
a room.
Bitch, I would look amazing in drag and I cannot. I fucking hate it. Like I just put on heels for like 2 hours at a wedding and I'm like,
no, no, thank you. Yeah. I went to two weddings this summer and I wore seersucker shorts with a seersucker jacket mm-hmm. as sort of like a loophole from having to be dressed up.
And there's definitely an elastic waist in there somewhere.
Yeah, they're chubbies, sure. Shout
yes.
out chubbies.
That's great. Yeah, anything with elastic, I'm like, oh, thank God. Yeah, this is good.
I knew I was going to see you today, but I also went out and picked up lunch for me and Tiffany, and I'm wearing a tank top from a deli in Oxnard, a hat that says Fat Boy Surf Club, Taco Bell shorts, weed socks, and then these hippie pride, like rainbow, like Pride
oh,
Month.
Oh my
slides.
God.
Yeah. And I'm just like, this, this is what I'm most comfortable in.
That's
like,
amazing. Like, I just saw, okay, so the Taco Bell shorts, I just saw some random, someone sent me like an Instagram story of someone that had gone to the Taco Bell pop up in like Palm Springs. Apparently there was a Taco Bell pop-up hotel and like gift
yes,
shop. Is that
yes.
where they're I think those are from there originally.
Oh, they might be. Yeah. They might have made them special for it or something like that. I didn't go to that because not for lack of trying, me, Betsy Sodaro, and Nicole Byer and Mono, all former guests of the pod, listeners know mm-hmm. them from
yes.
Happy Hours and but we tried. We all tried. We all tried to go. We couldn't. And I'm like thinking Nicole and Betsy's fame will like make
yeah.
it happen or something, but like no,
be able to get
it was
a media
all...
pass or something for your podcast or something.
Taco Bell seems, I think Taco Bell purposefully, because I have episodes and episodes about my podcast labeled Taco Bell. Like I talk about Taco Bell so much. I have like a dozen Taco Bell episodes in the last few hundred.
We might have had a make me like it about Taco Bell, but I feel like we couldn't
sure.
have though because we love it. Like we love
well, you don't need
it.
To be convinced.
No,
yeah, it
no.
rules. But I think they avoid me. And again, not to get my sexual shame all up in arms, but I think they're like, we don't need this fat, this like openly fat guy who's
openly fat.
I am like, I'm out of the openly fat closet.
Yes, you are. It's really empowering. I feel like, yeah, I'm definitely still on a journey with my body and my body shame. It definitely came up for me so much, like just confronting my fat phobia at the beginning of it all was just like, okay, this is the first part of it. And then like how that's been internalized into hatred of myself, and then like how I fit into all of this and how other people must feel who are fat. And it's just like, it's been such a journey that I'm still on. Like, I'm not quite there with the body love. And it also has a little to do with the fact that my body's just probably going to keep changing a lot. And it changed dramatically after, not that dramatically, I basically have the same body after this kid. I've always felt...
Well, now do you have a different viewpoint on your body? Because it's like...
Yes. It's and like... I will tell you, during pregnancy is the hottest I've ever felt. I was like, ooh, this is good. This is like how my body's supposed to look. Like, it just felt like my whole life, my body didn't look how it was supposed to look, you know? Like, I was an eighth grader who had a woman's body already. Like, I shot up, you know, I developed really quick, like, over a summer, you know? Yeah.
For the listeners, Kelly is famously tall.
Yeah, I'm 5'9". Not famously
tall, but you are are of height.
Yeah. I'm a tall woman. I've always felt like big, you know? Because I got tall over a summer and all of the... Everybody else was still children, you know. I've always thought of myself as big, even though, you know, I'm an adult.
Nothing will make a young woman feel harder on themselves than growing height and breasts before other people do.
Right.
Something everyone will eventually do, but you just can't be the first in our
era. I just am still there in that, like, oh, God, I have to hide myself. And then on top of that, I talk about this in my podcast a lot of just this, like, at the very beginning of being developed, the attention that I started to get from men was so horrifying that it also made me just like want to be as tiny as possible.
Right.
And then on top of that, you're getting like movies like Disney's Cinderella that is like, have the tiniest foot imaginable. And that
like
is
glass?
Beauty.
That sounds so uncomfortable.
Yes, but then you will be beautiful and you're perfect and you will be liked by someone.
Don't let him find out you're riding in a pumpkin. He will be furious.
And then everyone's like, wait, I don't know if I can relate.
I lost it here.
You lost me.
I lost the thread here a little. I want to jump back to something you said. You said you felt sexy and the best in as a pregnant when you were pregnant.
Yes, I was gonna get back to that.
Oh, cool. Sorry.
Yeah. It was so, it's so crazy, that feeling of feeling like your body is the way it's supposed to look, you know, when you're pregnant.
You're supposed to, like, that's something that your body is capable, that mm-hmm. the female body is oftenly. Jesus. Oh, man. I don't know if it was too much weed or not enough that made that happen. But having it, like, when you're pregnant, like, that is what you're supposed to look like. You're supposed to have a bit, like, so it is one of those things where you're like, and I think that happened when you're like, oh, I'm a big, strong guy, then that's okay. This is what my body's supposed to look like if you're like big and strong. It's like,
right.
And if I'm pregnant, and it's like, no, your body always looks the way it's supposed to look.
Yes.
It's
and like,
your
yes,
body.
I know, I know a lot of thin men who are just like, well, I have to like eat a lot and like I have to work out a lot to like look like I'm supposed to look, like a man is supposed to look, you know?
Right.
And women who are just like, I can't do too much. I can't lift too much weight because then I'll get the muscles and I'll start to look manly. And it's like, then who will fuck me then?
Right.
And it's like, yeah.
I'll tell you who.
Boom, sorry.
Allie, dunk, got it.
Yeah, so being pregnant was so, I don't know, healing. Also, like, I felt like I always had, like, a bit of a tummy, you know? And to just finally be like, I don't have to suck this shit in.
To, like, legally have
legally,
a tummy.
Legally. I legally could have a tummy. Yeah, I had a permit to have this belly. It was incredible.
Well, it's also, like, your body's doing something that is wild. You're mm-hmm. caring and so helping develop a person, a yes. human being, mm-hmm. Which is so wild. And when your body does something like that, you have like a newfound respect for it where you're like, okay, so totally. I'm sorry I hated that you made me taller when I was younger or gave me boobs when I, now mm-hmm. I hate that you did all that to me, but when I needed you, you did.
Hats off.
Your hats off. You did it. And then it's not, you know, like, it's mm-hmm. almost like your body's like, look, I know I've been a source of stress for a while, but allow me yes. to show you that this is something right. we're capable of. How insane is that?
Right.
We made a person to get, you know, like.
Yes, exactly. And I also started to trust like my eating habits too, because my body was telling me exactly what I could eat in that moment. How much, you know.
You're not going to be concerned about like exactly. calories when you're pregnant. You're like,
some people that are, but I was not. And I was like, fuck it. I know my body said I can only have this right now. This is right. like, this is very specific and I can't have too much because I will throw up because this tummy is like pressing, you know, if my yeah. belly is
pushing your stomach.
Against,
in, yeah.
yeah. So it's just like, there's like, it was really cool to, it was a really cool time to sort of heal. And I've since then, just like trying to hold on to it, you know, and hold on to that feeling in my normal body, you know,
yeah.
just because I don't look like the children in Delia's magazine or 17 or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, LA is not the best place to live if you're not 100% into the way you look.
It sucks. Yeah. yeah. And like, I
live in West Hollywood where I'm, yeah. I think I'm the only person with only man without a six, only male presenting person without a six pack.
That's rough. Yeah. And I live in Glendale where it's like, well, huge asses are in, which is fantastic right. news for these women, but not me. Okay. I would love for like tummies to be in. That would be really cool. I know a lot of people are into them, but it's like societally is like, guys, suck it in, babe.
The good and bad of the internet is that the bad is that people who want to overthrow the government because a black person moved into their neighborhood can mm-hmm. find each other.
Yeah.
But a person with a tummy can find someone who wants to fuck someone who has a tummy. And like if the internet just helped people eliminate sexual shame, like, and I think it's a huge factor in it. And it maybe is arguably like a fire hose of doing that. And we can maybe use a garden hose of that mm-hmm. like information. But mm-hmm. at the same time, for all the wrongs that has brought the internet and social media and being this connected has brought us as a society, I think one of the major positives is sort of people becoming more and more comfortable being like, we didn't even know bronies existed, right?
Oh,
and now
yeah, bronies.
They all found each other because it's like, and I don't know if that's a healthy culture.
Yeah,
I don't know anything about that, but it's like, if you can find a room where it's like, hey, we all like the same super niche sci-fi book. Let's yeah. talk about it here. Like the fact that that world exists, like the internet helps us that. And then if some little kid somewhere is like, I think I'm bisexual and gets to see something that they think is hot because the internet has something for everyone. Like, and that helps you learn that you're not alone in what you, there are some like porn genres that I'm like, oh, why is this so popular? And I like it too. And then you have like, you try to like, and this will be something fun to do on your pod, I mm-hmm. think, is like try to unpack why, like what's
oh, I
genre.
Love that.
Yeah, yeah. Cause I, yeah. I have a,
what
I have a strong.
What happened to you?
Yeah.
What
I have
did
a,
you
I have
see?
A, I, exactly. I have a strong theory about one genre that I'm into. So any people who are holding out to find out what porn genres I'm into, check us out on Kelly's podcast.
What are you into? Yeah, totally.
Anything else do we want to say before I don't want to like end it unless you have, if you don't
no.
have any.
No, I was going to like, I had some talking points because I like Brené Brown is like the speaker on shame now because she's like had the balls to do. She did a TED talk on vulnerability and then a whole TED talk on shame, which you guys should go listen to. So I had some like sound bites from that, but I don't need to say
she
those.
Had she had like a Netflix special about.
Yes, the Netflix special too. And then she's like put out a really good book. Like, guys, Brené Brown is all of our mommies.
I will watch it.
Yeah,
I will watch the TED talk.
You should. It's good stuff.
I'm all for eliminating shame. Like, let's get it out of there.
Please. It's such poison. It sucks.
I know it's cliche. It does feel like so many angry people just need to be like, get unpacked in that way. And I don't even, I'm stopping short of saying get fucked the way they want to get fucked. But like, that is like sort of like a one sort of Rosetta Stone to like,
yes.
Why aren't you happy? And it's definitely not because critical race theory is being taught at your school district.
Yes.
That's not what's making you unhappy.
Exactly.
What is it, motherfucker? You didn't care about that a month ago. Like,
I talked to this, I've like gotten to know this amazing community of people on Instagram. You were just talking about niche cultures on people finding each other on Instagram. And I've found so many cool sex positive people. And I interviewed this dominatrix, who's also a witch.
Hell, yeah. She's frantically writing.
Yes. Uh-huh, uh-huh. Their name is Lady Hexa. And she was talking about how just one of her clients was just bawling after a session because they were like, I've just wanted to do that my whole life. And I finally got to do it. And it's just, you know, you were just talking about what's
so
missing for
real.
Some people. And
so,
for some people, it is that thing of being like sexually expressive how they need to be.
Yeah. And then even if it's like,
stomp on my throat, you
yeah.
know, even if
I think
that.
Also just expressive, even like that sexual being one part of it. But some people who are just not even comfortable saying how they feel about certain situations, like, or what their like opinion of some, like,
yeah,
there's so much fear of and people presenting themselves the way they want to be understood. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, in a way lying about who they really are or at least hiding some truths. And I like, let's abolish all of that. People are going to hate you no matter what. And people are going to love you no matter what. Mm-hmm. That's because people are crazy. So just fucking dive in. You know what I mean? Be yourself.
Dive in. Please be yourself, guys. It makes it a lot less scary for the rest of us who are trying our darndest to be ourselves too.
Yeah. Whenever someone is like real and vulnerable, you're just like, oh, thank you.
Thank
God. Like, oh, right. Thank
yes.
you. Like, did you happen to see Gary Gulman's stand-up special,
yes.
The Great Depression?
Yes.
That had a few moments in it where I'm like, I'm so happy you're saying this.
I know.
Like, his whole thing about not drinking Sprite because his friends thought it was gay is like so real. He's like, the way he does it, such
is
a better
he from
joke.
Long Island too?
I don't know. Yeah, I think he's from Boston and Biden,
okay,
I guess,
okay.
Where it's same shit, different toilet.
Same shit, yeah.
Even
different
more toilet, okay. Homophobic and racist.
Yes, yeah. Sprite, wow.
So, check out Brené Brown. Listeners, check out Gary Gulman's The Great Depression. Kelly, where can people find you, or what are you into?
I have an Instagram handle. It's What Are You Into? And then, you know, you can find me on any podcasting platform. Please subscribe. Get in there, guys.
Whatever you're listening to High and Mighty on, just take out your phone, open up that app, and
yes.
just follow What Are You Into? You don't even have to listen. Just start by subscribing. That's step one. Get
totally.
To listening eventually.
And guys, my cleavage is on the photo for the podcast now. I mean, my face is too. But like my face, I was never ashamed of. The cleavage is another story. This is
You should be ashamed of neither. And
thank you. I was ready for you to say, you should be ashamed of yourself.
Well, I almost brought up your cleavage because I just was like, that's not your place. But now that you said it, I just got to say, you DM'd me to be like, hey, you should come do my podcast. And I didn't know because your
who
podcast is formally called
The
Squirt.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I just got a podcast. Like, I just saw like, what are you into? Some hot, busty brunette. Like,
and
with
like,
I was like, except. Hello, Zoom. Oh, Kelly. Hi, Kelly, friend. Right. Yeah, we've known each other for like 15 years. How's it going? Good to see you. Yes. Yeah, I'd love to do your pod. You should do mine. Whoops.
I love it. I love it. That's great. What a great story.
I mean, I told you, I was like, I thought you were like
yes,
a porn bot or something. I was
some
like, hello.
Sort of. That's the greatest
Here's my credit card
of all
info.
Time. Yeah. I am a porn bot now. Love it. Woo.
Kelly, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks
check out What Are You
me.
Into? I got my podcast, Action Boys, Gino Lombardo Show, coming to Stitcher Premium soon. And then also, starting a couple of weeks ago, every Monday night, I host a live radio chat show on Spotify Green Room, where you, the listeners, if you download the app, you can come into the room every Monday night at 8 Pacific. I'll be talking about the big movie that came out that weekend, and I'll be talking to you about it, pull you up on stage, and you too can talk. So I know you freaks love that shit. Go from parasocial to straight up social on my Monday night show, The Movie Buff, on Spotify's Green Room. Also, bye, shitheads.
That was a HeadGum podcast.
In a part of the world where there are no rules.
Holy shit.
Holy shit, guys. Holy, I'm so pumped.
I definitely have not watched this since I rented it on VHS in 92.
Strangers united by the threat of death.
We got all the fucking major players. Seagal.
Vladimir Putin is a good man.
Arnold.
Here, come. Give it to me.
I need you to cream pie me now.
Stallone.
People are loving this movie.
It's actually, it's got a lot of heart.
You're mentally irregular.
Now. Somewhere, somehow,
body blow, body.
Someone's gonna pay.
I would fucking love for my wife to like see me rip a guy's throat out.
But they didn't count on one thing.
This movie's fucking insane.
It's how you know it's a good movie. You have to do almost all the work yourself to figure it out.
Oh, there's a fantasy component. Yeah. There's some sword fighting.
There's some lightning.
Bam, 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 bam.
There's a new game in town.
You wake up after a few years, and then you don't even know who you are anymore.
We're going to be making Terminators.
We're going to make a really great deal with the Xenomorphs.
What? I don't hate them, but I've been in a room.
Yes, I understand.
This is now the 20th ending of the movie.
I'm Dar.
I'm your dad.
Action, boys. Boys will be boys.
Subscribe here for bonus content and more free stuff from behind the paywall. To get new episodes, become a patron at actionboys.biz.
Do it! Do it! Come on! Do it now!